Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
It is rich, isn't it? Being together with 15 different churches in our region tonight, there's something exciting about the body coming together that gives us a greater richness than when we're just alone. So I thank you for opening your house to us and being able to worship together is so encouraging. Tonight we have a real privilege of having Jason Ellsmore. He's the head of Gateway Baptist Church, but also the director of the Queensland Baptist Movement. And he's going to come up. Come on, Jason. He's going to come up and preach to us this night. And I just want to just thank him for his word today. This is the fourth time he's preaching today. So I want to pray for him as he comes up, that God might really inspire him and give us a word that we need to hear. So Lord God, we thank you so much for Jason, the leadership he shows. Lord, the heart that you've given him. Lord, the gifts and abilities. We pray, Lord, that your spirit might speak through him tonight to our ears and into our hearts. Help the word that he brings to be able to change us, to grow and grow more and more into the people that you've called us to be. I pray that Jesus, in your mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Mate, thank you for organising this. Matt came to us a few months ago and said, how about we do our pastors' gathering a little different on a Sunday afternoon and come together for a combined worship service on Sunday night. And Matt, great idea. Thank you for making this happen. You know, it says in the Bible that when God's people come together in unity, he commands a blessing. That means he's pouring out a blessing here tonight. Anyone want to get blessed tonight? Can we just put our hands together to thank Matt for organising this? And as Matt's already said, big thank you to John and to all the River Life crew. Love you guys. When I think of just one word that kind of sits in my heart when I think about the church here at River Life, it's kingdom. You guys just got a kingdom heart. You got a heart for the kingdom of God. You just want to see God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm praying tonight that as we open God's word, that we might see his kingdom come in our hearts. We might see what he's calling us to do, to see his kingdom established in this region of Brisbane and throughout the world. Hey, I want to ask you a question tonight. When is the last time that you were truly astonished? When's the last time you're just truly astonished? You know, I'm absolutely astonished that I'm old enough to be a grandpa. Yeah. Do I look old enough to be a grandpa? Yes. Half of you think, yeah, I do. Half not so sure. I've got, this is my family up on the screen. Just have a quick look at my crew. That's my beautiful family, my beautiful little granddaughter, Aurelia. And I find it astonishing. That was my 49th birthday last Saturday night. You know, my wife actually turned 50 this year. Susan, she's going to be delighted that I told all of you that. And she's definitely old enough now to be a grandma once you turn 50. And I can't believe that I'm now married to a senior citizen. But, you know, she is the love of my life, and our little granddaughter Aurelia has become great joy to us. I'm astonished by family. Just we could put the family photo back up for a second again. You know, my youngest son, Joey, he can dance. He can dance like some of this crew can up here on stage, where when you started clapping, I couldn't even clap in time. You know, I'm astonished that I got a son who can dance and has won a national hip-hop, you know, competition. My daughter, Bronte, you know, she can paint like Patria, and she can sing like a bunch of you up here, where I cannot hold a tune and I cannot draw a stick man. You know, I look at Patria's artwork and I look at my daughter Bronte's artwork, and I'm astonished that she came from me, you know, somehow. You know, I'm astonished that my third daughter is now old enough to be married and give us a beautiful granddaughter. And I'm astonished by my eldest daughter, who actually won her netball grand final this year. Out of all of our kids, she's not exactly been the star athlete of the family, but this year she won a netball grand final. And I'm also astonished by technology. When she won the grand final, she asked me to, you know, to she said, "You got to get this on Instagram, Dad. You never put me on Instagram. You always put the other kids on Instagram." And so I took a photo and I put it on Instagram, and all of her friends said to me, "You've got to tag Jess in the post." And I said, "I don't know how." And they all wet their pants laughing. And they taught me how to tag my daughter in a post. Does anybody else here not know how to tag someone in an Instagram post? Come and see me later. It's astonishing what I can do with technology. I don't know when the last time it was that you were truly astonished. But throughout the scriptures, people are astonished by Jesus all the time. Now, people are astonished by what Jesus said and by what he did. The Sermon on the Mount, this sermon that, you know, we've heard so many times now, but was completely new teaching for the culture of the time. It was teaching that has shaped our Western culture today. That he began, you know, on the side of a hill with a bunch of people hanging around, and they all listened to him. And the end of Matthew, you know, chapter 7, it says, after they'd heard all that he said, they were astonished by his teaching. They'd never heard anything like this before. They were astonished at the authority that he had to teach. His disciples are in a boat, and the wind and the waves come up, and they think they're going to drown because they've never been to swimming lessons, and there's no floaties on board the boat, and Jesus is asleep down the front of the boat, and they cry out to Jesus as their last resort. "Jesus, we're going to drown. Don't you care?" And Jesus simply wakes up, you know, asleep in the front of the boat, and says to the wind and to the waves, "Be still." And they were. And it says the disciples are looking at each other and they were astonished. They were astonished. They said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who is this man? There's another time, you know, all these people are starting, they're seeing the miracles and they're gathering around, you know, to listen to Jesus. And there's so many people, you know, crowded in to Peter's house that when four mates bring their friend who's never been able to walk to be healed by Jesus, they can't get through the door. And so they climb up onto the roof and they dig a hole in Peter's roof and lower, you know, their friend down on ropes through the roof. We don't actually know, you know, what Peter was thinking about this at this moment. "I just got a gaping hole, you know, on the roof." I'm kind of picturing him, you know, on the phone, you know, to his insurance company, speaking to someone in a call center on the other side of the world, and he's trying to explain that this is an act of God because Jesus is in the room and there's a gaping big hole in his roof, and this guy is getting lowered down who's never been able to walk, and Jesus simply says, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk out the room." And it says everybody is astonished. We've never seen anything like this before. There's another time Jesus is walking down the street, and there's a blind guy, and there's a guy who's never been able to speak. And Jesus heals them. And the guy who is mute, the guy who's never been able to speak, begins to speak. And all of the people, you know, look at one another and say, "Who is this man?" They were astonished at his power. If you read through your Gospels, you see it time and time again. People are astonished at Jesus. The word is thamazo in the Greek. And in some of your Bibles, it'll get translated amazed. If you've got an older version of the NIV, it'll get translated astonished. If you're still really old school and you are a grandpa and you're reading the King James Version, it'll say marveled. But it's one word. It's the word thamazo. And time again, people looked at what Jesus did and they were thamazoed. They were amazed, they marveled, they were astonished. I don't know about you, but I get astonished by Jesus all the time. You know, I'm astonished the one who fashioned the world with his hands would actually clothe himself in human flesh and become one of us. That is astonishing. I'm astonished that the one who cast stars into orbit would actually enter our orbit and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's astonishing. You know, I'm astonished that he who knew no sin would become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. That is astonishing. Can I hear an amen for Jesus tonight? It's astonishing. Time and time again, people through the Gospels are astonished by Jesus, but there's only twice in the Gospels that Jesus is astonished at other people. There's only two times in all the Gospels that Jesus looks at people and the Son of God is astonished. First one's in Matthew chapter 8. If you've got a Bible there, open it up. It says, we'll start at verse 5. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Just before we read a few more verses, let me just help you understand, you know, who the centurion is. You know, the centurion is an officer in the Roman army. He's not one of the people of God. He's not part of the people of Israel. He is an officer in the Roman army, and he's a centurion, which means 100, because he's got 100 soldiers under him. He is a man of authority. He's an officer. He's also a law enforcer. His job was to ensure that the people of Capernaum obeyed the rules of the Roman Empire, and he's a peacekeeper. He made sure that no troublemakers came along and tried to upset the peace of Rome. The centurion had power and authority in this region, in the region of Capernaum. He had power and authority, and everybody knew it. You only had to look at him to see that he had power. This is what he looked like. He's wearing a fancy metal tunic that no other soldier got to wear. He had a big sword strapped beside him and a spear and a special centurion's shield, and he had a ridiculous looking helmet on his head. But no one would dare say it to his face, because this man had power and authority. The broom on his head would have come in handy in Brisbane magpie season. Who's been riding their bike, you know, through Brisbane or Ipswich in this season and been attacked by a magpie? Hands up. How good would it be to have a big broom on your head, you know, that scared the magpies away? Really, really handy. This hasn't happened to me yet so far this spring, but last spring, you know, when I had nothing else to do during COVID, I spent a lot of time running and riding. I remember one day I'm riding my bike down the road and I didn't have a broom on my head. Whack! Attacked by a magpie. I wish I had that centurion sword and I could just shish kebab, you know, that magpie. You know, the next day, I'm running, I'm going for a run, and there are these old people, you know, really old, like really old enough to be grandparents. Like, they're old enough to be my grandparents. And they're walking their little dash hound along the street, and a plover was attacking them from the sky. And I really wish I had a sword. All I had was my hat, and I just stood there stupidly waving my hat around to try and protect these old people from an attacking plover. A few days later, I'm swimming at my local pool, and I get to the end of the pool, and I just feel this whack on the back of my head. And I felt like, as I'm about to get to the end of the pool, it felt like someone had dived in but not timed their dive properly and whacked me on the back of the head. But when I stood up and looked around, there was nowhere to be seen, no one to be seen. I'm thinking, that's really weird. I swam down back the other end, came back and did another lap, and about the same spot as I'm about to get to the end of the wall, whack, on the back of my head. And I stand up and look around, and this time I see a big mother duck just kind of sitting there. And every time I got up near her nest, she was just attacking me on the back of my head. In the space of a week, everywhere I went, things were attacking me from the sky. I really wished I had that centurion's club and a sword to shish kebab every single one of them. Any vegans or animal lovers in the room, just come and see me later. This guy had power and authority. Everyone looked at him and they saw it. In Brisbane, in our region today, it'd be someone in a blue uniform with a gun and a badge. But in the region of Capernaum, in the first century, he had a stick, a fancy jacket, and a funny-looking broom on his head. And when he gave a command, everyone in Capernaum obeyed him because he had power and authority. He also had connections. He had direct access to Caesar. He loved the people of Israel. He'd actually, out of his own finances, he'd paid to build their synagogue. And he loved his servant. Centurions weren't allowed to marry, and so probably this servant had become like family to him. And so here's this man with power and authority. Here's this man with connections and incredible wealth. And yet this servant has become like family, with all of his wealth, all of his power, all of his authority, all of his connections, he can do nothing to heal his servant. And so he comes to Jesus, who's moved his ministry into Capernaum, and he's heard about the powerful things that he does. And he comes to Jesus as Jesus walks down the mountain from delivering the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is wearing no fancy uniform. He's got no human connections. He's got no political sway, no political power. He's got no wealth. And yet this centurion comes to Jesus and says, "Could you heal my servant?" And when Jesus says, "Sure, just show the way," he says, "I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. You just give the order and it will be done." Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus heard this, he was... we're going to need some little participation here. When Jesus heard this, he was...
astonished.
He was astonished. And he said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Maker of heaven and earth, was astonished by the faith of one man. Now you need to understand, this has never happened before. Jesus at this point in his ministry has never healed a Gentile before. And at this point in his ministry, Jesus has never healed from a distance before. Jesus has healed with a touch of his hand. Jesus even healed with some spit rubbed in mud and rubbed into someone's eyes. Jesus has healed through a prayer. Jesus healed through a touch. Jesus healed as someone has come down on ropes through the roof. But Jesus has never healed from a distance before. It's not that Jesus didn't know that he could do it. Jesus did know that he could do it, but nobody else on earth had ever seen it before. And so when he sees this centurion come to him and say, "Just give the word and he'll be healed from a distance," and he was healed at that very moment, Jesus looks at this man and he was astonished. See, astonishing faith is when you believe God will do what you've never seen him do before. Astonishing faith is when you believe that God will do something in your church, in this region, in our nation, that we have never, ever seen before. There's only one other time that the Gospels record that Jesus is astonished. And it's in his hometown of Nazareth. It's in Mark chapter 6. If you just turn to Mark chapter 6 with me in verse 3. It says, Jesus left there, went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, where did this man get these things? Wasn't this wisdom that has been given? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? Then in verse 3, it says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Listen to this, verse 5. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Who think that's a pretty good day of ministry? Just lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. But Jesus, it was not a good day for him. Listen to what it says in verse 6. He was astonished at their lack of faith. It's the only two times. It's the only two times in the gospel that Jesus is thamazoed. One time is astonished at the great faith of a centurion, and the other time is astonished at the lack of faith of people in his hometown. You see, the centurion recognized Jesus as a man with authority. The people of Nazareth saw him as Joseph and Mary's boy. The centurion humbled himself before Jesus when he needed help. The Nazarenes were offended that the carpenter would even offer to help them. The centurion knew that he was not worthy to be in the same room as this man. But in Nazareth, they had no respect for Jesus and they didn't want him to hang around. And Jesus is astonished at their lack of faith and he couldn't do many miracles there. You know, when we read these stories, we often forget about the unnamed people in the communities. You know, we sometimes forget that in the centurion's home, there was a poor servant who'd been sick for a long time who was healed in an instant. But in Nazareth, in that community, there were people that went on being sick. There were people who went on being under the power of evil. There were people who went on without hearing the good news of the kingdom. You see, our faith in Jesus impacts the lives of people in our communities. Our faith in what Jesus can do impacts the lives of people in this region of Brisbane and beyond. You know, when we lack faith, people in our community miss out on what Jesus has for them. And he's still the hope of the world. 2,000 years later, he's still the one who can heal us in body, mind, and spirit, who can make us right with the Father. He's the only one. I want to encourage you tonight, Jesus is still doing astonishing things. I know Jesus still moves in an astonishing way in people's hearts. I've had the privilege for the last 10 years of going to Cambodia and seeing girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking. There might be a photo of Nita come up on the screen. Girls who have been sold at sometimes 8, 10, 12, sold for their virginity. Sold into the darkest, most appalling evil in this world. Abused and raped night after night. But I've seen as these girls get rescued that Jesus does such a remarkable healing in their lives. He truly lifts them up out of the pit. And I've seen girls living literally locked in dungeons that have found their God-given gift to create beauty like this. Beauty has risen from the ashes. You know, I've seen girls that have become pastors. I've seen girls that have become international cake decorators. Why? Because someone had an astonishing faith who believed God could do something that we've never seen before. And many of you have heard stories like that in all parts of the mission field. But I want to encourage you tonight. It can happen here in Australia. It's happened before. You know, in 1959... in a sport-mad nation, the biggest crowd that has ever assembled in a sporting arena in Australia was in 1959, 143,000 people packed out the MCG to hear Billy Graham preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And in 1959, one-third of the Australian population heard the gospel. They gathered somewhere like this to hear the good news of Jesus. And in every church in Australia, you will find someone who has put their faith in Christ at a Billy Graham crusade, whether it was in 59 or 79 or someone in between. Who here in this room came to faith at a Billy Graham crusade? I'm trust there's one at least down to 2, 3, 4. If my wife was here, she'd be sticking her hand in the air as well. God has moved in power in this nation in the past. We can see it happen again. And sometimes it's actually just simple obedience by ordinary people like you and me. You know, after World War II, my grandfather came back. There might be a picture of my grandfather, actually. He was a cool old dude. He was old when he was a grandpa. But he came back from World War II without any church upbringing, without knowing the gospel. And he was just an ordinary digger, ordinary Australian, getting on with life and wanting to make a buck. And his name was Frank Elsmore. And he had a neighbor named Frank. There's a lot of Franks in 1952. I bet there's not even two Franks in the room tonight. But in 1952, there's Franks everywhere. And his neighbor kept coming over the fence and saying to my grandfather, Frank, would you come to church with me? And my grandfather kept rejecting him. He couldn't remember how many times, but he knew he'd rejected him a lot. But in 1952, the other Frank bought a car. And my grandfather had never had a car in 1952, never driven a car. And so his neighbor, Frank, said, if you come to church with me, I'll let you drive my car. My grandfather changed his mind. And he went to church. Went to a Church of Christ in Epping in 1952. And he said, it's the first time I'd ever heard the gospel. It was the first time I ever understood that I was a sinner and need a savior. And I got his baptism certificate in my Bible. I take it everywhere I go. It says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believing this with all my heart and resting wholly upon the finished work of Jesus for salvation, I confessed my faith in him at Epping Church of Christ on the Lord's Day, July the 6th, 1952, Frank Elsmore, a sinner saved by grace. Now, my grandfather passed away 25 years ago, but my grandmother only passed away 2 years ago at the age of 99. When we gathered together, now remember, he's the first person in our family to become a Christian. When we gathered together for her funeral, we had to fight over who was going to lead the funeral service, because seven of us are full-time pastors in the local church somewhere in Australia. And every single one of us in that room, four generations, is following Jesus and actively involved in a local church somewhere in Australia. How did that happen? One old bloke named Frank wouldn't give up on sharing the gospel with my grandfather Frank, and there's been generational change for the last four generations, and I'm planning for it to continue into the future. Sometimes there's something really simple that you can do and see Jesus do something astonishing. Who are you going to invite to be part of this good news? Who are you going to invite? Who are you not going to give up on when you prayed for them once, twice, three, four times until they come to know Jesus? I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to look at my faith and be astonished at my great faith, not my lack of faith. Astonishing faith begins by humility before Jesus. It begins like the centurion and coming and laying ourselves down before Jesus and saying, I can't do this, only you can. And Jesus promises us that when we humble ourselves before him, he will lift us up. And I believe Jesus wants to do some lifting up in this room. He actually wants to lift you up. As you humble yourself before him, he wants to lift you up and do amazing, astonishing things that you know are not about you, but it's all about him. You see, humility before Jesus actually is shown in the way that we pray. When Jesus tells us to pray, he says, I want you to ask and keep on asking. I want you to pray with a shameless audacity. I love those two words. Pray with a shameless audacity. Believe for me to do big things as you come before me in humility and cry out to me in prayer. Astonishing faith begins with humility before Jesus, and it continues with honoring Jesus above all. You know, Jesus, he was Joseph and Mary's boy. He was the brother of James and Judas and Simon. But he was no ordinary man. You know, Jesus did speak to the wind and the waves and they were still. He did teach in a way that shaped this nation and shaped our Western culture. You see, Jesus Christ was no ordinary man. He did grow up in Nazareth. He did minister in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. But at the end of his life, he went to a cross and he willingly gave up his life so that each one of us could have our sins forgiven and we could be right with God. But on the third day, when the women went to check on his dead body, to anoint his dead body, they met an angel there who said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Jesus Christ died, born of a virgin, died on a cross, rose again on the third day, is seated today in the heavenly realms. All power and all authority has been given to him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and praise. We honor Jesus by lifting him up above all. I'm believing that we're going to see Jesus do something astonishing in this region, in these churches, in this city of Brisbane and across Queensland. And it won't come about by us just being smarter, cleverer people. It'll come about because we're a people that humble ourselves before Jesus in prayer and honor him above all. And there's a faith in our heart that believes he still has power and authority today to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to change the trajectory of young people's lives, to see whole families redeemed, and to see generational change across this city. Does anyone else believe it?
Yes.
I like you, man. I love your faith. It's an astonishing faith. If you're here tonight and you say, I want Jesus to be astonished at my great faith. I want to see a move of God in this region. I just want to encourage you to stand right now. I'm going to pray over you. I just want to pray God to fill you afresh with his spirit. I just think there's some of you here tonight, there's a renewing of faith. There's been some discouragement. There's been some disappointment in the past. And God's just wanting to renew faith in your heart. He still has power today. He has power to move mountains today. He has power to transform lives today. Just encourage you to feel comfortable. Just put your arms out. Say, that's the kind of faith I want. Father, tonight by your Holy Spirit, come and move in our hearts. God, come and fill us with power. God, fill us with your love and compassion, that we would see people walking down the street. We would see people in this community in need and our hearts would be filled with compassion. God, we would notice the people you're calling us to notice. That we would reach out to others with the hope that you put in our hearts. God, we just simply offer to pray for people in the streets, in people's homes. We'd be a people that would invite others to come and to hear the good news, and we would not be put off by rejection. Because Jesus, you're so big, you're so good, you're so kind, and you're coming again one day. And we want to see hell emptied and heaven filled. God, we pray a blessing over every church in this region. God, would you fill us with faith? God, would you give us a heart for the lost? God, would you pour out your blessing, pour out your power? May every church home be a home of grace. A place where people feel like they are loved, they know they belong. They discover that there's a God in heaven who sees them and knows their name. God, I just pray for pastors right now. If you're standing near one of your pastors, just put your hand on their shoulder. God, would you encourage them today? Encourage all of our pastors, the young, the old, men, women, whatever role that you've called us to in this season. God, I pray for an encouragement from you today. God, would you put courage in our hearts to be men and women that speak your truth with boldness, that speak your truth with confidence, that believe that the gospel still has power to save and to transform today. God, would you put a vision in their hearts for gospel transformation in their community? God, would you raise up people around them, intercessors that will pray with them and pray for them to see the gospel of the kingdom of heaven invade earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.